Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And we have a special program for you today. We know that we're in the season of celebrating Christmas, and we know that we remember the Lord's birth, our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he came to the earth over 2,000 years ago. He left his home in heaven, and he came to the earth to be born as a baby and to grow up, have his earthly ministry where he healed the sick, he cast out devils, he died on the cross so we could have eternal life and forgiveness of our sins. So it is with great joy that we remember the Lord's birth every year. And I like to remember the Lord's birth. I think it's important that we celebrate his coming and put people in remembrance, really, of who Jesus is and why he came. Because I think there's so much confusion today with who Jesus is, and we see the growth, really, of so many false religious systems, especially people that claim to be brethren. And apostasy is on the rise. So I think it is important to remember the Lord's birth, to try to explain to people why we celebrate this holiday, remembering Jesus Christ. I personally am not for not having any kind of a Christmas celebration at all, because I think that we should have one day a year when we are able to tell people why we have Christmas. And also, you know, that the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So who's the biggest giver of them all? Nobody can compare to the gift that God gave us. No one. And we see this time of year people buying each other gifts, and that whole spirit of giving. I'm not opposed to that. I think it's wonderful that, don't you like to get a gift? I do. So I'm not opposed to people giving each other gifts. And it's a happy time, hopefully. Of course, it's not a happy time for some people right now. We have so much tragedy going on in our nation and in other nations. And I know in times past, of course, most of my family, really no one in my family that I know of is born again, on both sides of the family. My mother's family, my father's family, we come from a big family, and usually on holidays, people would get together and have too much to drink and then start fighting with each other. Remember those holidays? Some of them I'd like to forget. But anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on, Brenda Johnson.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
Yeah, do you have any snow up there?
No, we don't have snow, thank goodness. It was raining yesterday, so
yeah,
it was nice.
Yeah, too. It kind of looked like it wanted to snow.
Oh, really? In Florida?
It was one of those gray days where if you lived in the north, you knew snow was coming.
Yes, yes. It was kind of gray here, but I was glad it was raining and not snowing. That means it's not cold enough. I grew up in Minnesota, and I had enough snow for the rest of my life. I've been away from Minnesota more than I've lived there, so it's not home anymore. I left in the 80s out of Minnesota. It's just too cold, and I lived in Tennessee and then Florida and here and now in Springfield, Missouri, which is the furthest north I've been since then as far as living. So I do appreciate when it rains instead of snows.
Yeah, really.
Too warm to snow.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of cold weather.
No.
Living in Florida. I like Florida. I know why people come here in the winter. I understand it.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, we lived there 10 years, so we like Florida. We just were called this direction, so.
Yeah.
Now we're here.
Yeah.
In a place we never expected to be, so.
Yeah, really, Springfield. Who thinks about moving there? You know, it's like if you had a place to go, you wouldn't pick Springfield, Missouri.
Especially when you want to be a missionary and share the gospel to people who don't know, because Springfield is the headquarters of the Southern Baptist Association and the Assembly of God.
Wow.
So
you've got a mission field right there.
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, I just, you know, I laugh when, you know, my mom thought I got stuck in Florida because we were on our way to the foreign mission field, my husband and I, and she thought we got stuck there, and we kind of did, and then God called us, and where he called us? Springfield, Missouri. I don't get it. I'm one that wants to go overseas, but God wants to keep me here for some reason, so, but I'm satisfied with his call.
Well, that's it. We're content. Godliness with contentment.
Right.
Brings great gain. So, of course, that's how it is. Whenever you're in God's will and you know that you're in the place that the Lord wants you to be, you do feel content.
Yes. And with the gifts that you have. So not a whole lot of people have gifts. You know, we all have different gifts. So, I'm satisfied with his call on my life right now. So,
yeah, it's wonderful to be able to have this communication that we have with Blog Talk Radio, and that we're able to reach so many people without having to get into a plane or drive a car hundreds of miles or thousands of miles. And I appreciate it so very much that God has opened up this radio program, and it's really a beacon, a lighthouse, I think, and we steadily see the audience increasing, and I'm sure you're seeing that with your program, because I think people are hungry for truth. Of course, they do have their Bibles, and if they read it, they will find truth for sure. But of course, God does put people in the body of Christ, as you said, with different gifts, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and apostles, and different gifts. So, and the Bible does say, how will they hear unless you send a preacher? So we want to be God's mouthpiece, so to speak, for his truth and his righteousness. So thanks be to God for the internet.
Yes, and where you can talk to people on the other side of the world, you know, Christians who are in Pakistan or India who are hungry for fellowship, to be able to talk to people in other places where they have no support, in Africa, and you know, it's amazing. And then being able to have something that you can say, and people will actually tune into what you say.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of odd, but at the same time, it's, you know, amazing that, you know, you would think, wow, I have something to say. Somebody wants to listen to what I have to say. Amazing.
Well, yeah, you see that people are hungry because we have, of course, Christian television, or what they call Christian television, which they've strayed far from biblical Christianity on many of these networks, but they're able to influence so many people. And of course, we wouldn't get airtime on these channels. And so God makes a way where there seems to be no way. So I know there's other people that feel the same way we do about so many things. And then when they hear somebody saying what they're thinking, and maybe they're trying to escape from some of these false religious systems, that they say, wow, there is somebody else out there that knows what I'm going through.
Well, it's hand in hand with Facebook, you know, because you have all these arguments and debates on Facebook in some of these groups that people are wondering, how do I answer that, or how do I know how to confront that, or what do you think about this, when they don't know how to really address it, because, you know, that's why we're the body of Christ. We all have our different gifts that we can put our heads together and come up with, you know, how to rightfully divide the word of God and really attack some of these teachings that are out there. And the subject today of Christmas, actually this argument or debate became ferocious last year on Facebook. I saw so much of this last year, and I was kind of testing the waters then, because, you know, I wasn't hearing any of these arguments in the depths that I was hearing them, but last year. So I like to debate, and by debating in writing, it's a lot easier because you can think through it sometimes.
Yeah.
And then get back to your comment instead of, you know, you're verbally debating and you just want to react to what is being said. But
yeah,
I really took last year to try to see if I can test some of the waters of debating this and what are people actually saying about it.
Yeah,
this year
I find that it's a little confusing myself, because I'm thinking, I see people becoming very angry about celebrating.
Both ways.
Christmas.
Yeah, both ways. Both ways.
And I'm thinking, like, what do you have against remembering that Jesus Christ was born and telling people about it? Like, what is wrong with you?
And that wasn't even so much of a thrust as it is this year. This year it's really attacking other Christians who are wanting to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, on my Facebook site, and I told you this in writing, you know, I said, you know, I purposely am posting real, real Christmassy like things on my Facebook cover just because I'm rebelling against what people are saying. You can't do that, you know, and usually I'm more, you know, celebrate the birth of Christ, or I have a message, but this message to me was a little bit different in that I wanted to see how many people are going to judge what I'm saying based on my Facebook cover. And I'm telling you, so many people are really lashing out on me just because I have that picture, some of those pictures that I put up on my site. And so I'm doing it to see how many people are reacting instead of really, really, you know, looking into what we're doing to each other. And I've had Christians come to me saying that their friends who have just become saved and want to celebrate the birth of Jesus are being condemned and told that they cannot do that, that they're part of Babylon, and
yeah,
that they're celebrating paganism if they celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th.
Yeah.
Or any time.
We don't know what day he was born. We really don't.
And the early church knew this when in history. We all knew this. Nobody knows the exact date. And
right,
when it was said on the 25th, the early church already knew that it was not his birthday. They were doing
right.
it for another reason,
right.
and that was to unite the early church in history and to confront the paganism. It wasn't a joining in like people
right.
are saying. If you really do your church history and you really study church history, it wasn't that they were trying to join in and compromise with the pagans. They had a message that was extremely powerful that they took advantage of the opportunity at that time to preach it because people were believing in the wrong truth, a twisted truth of who, you know, the rebirth of the sun. It wasn't the rebirth of the sun. People were afraid. People in paganism were afraid of the dark because they're afraid the sun would not come back. And so when Christians came into those pagan lands with these pagan festivals, which they had to celebrate to offer offerings to the gods so that the sun would come back, so that it would be rebirthed, so that they wouldn't have fear and they would die and they would not be fed again, Christians came in and said, we want to tell you about the son who had already come. You don't have to serve him and you don't have to fear him. You don't have to look for him. Here he is, the son of Israel, the child in Bethlehem that we have declared. We declare to you that he has already come and he will provide for all your needs. You don't need to serve these gods and these pagan things. And so the church purposely did this as a, what, you know, is called a cultural, it's an analogy. In every culture, there's something that we could use to actually share the gospel with a people, a bridge, something that we can you know, launch the message of salvation to them, not to conform to them, but to transform them and become and make help them to see who this Jesus is.
Yeah.
So this was
now,
really powerful.
Did the pagans, did they actually set up an alternative to Christmas to get people off track?
No, they already had something in place. What do you mean, something alternative to Christmas? No, these cultural celebrations were worldwide in Rome. It was all about the gods, you know, the worshiping of the gods in Rome. It was all the mythological gods and the Greek gods. And in Persia, it was the Mithraism was really, really popular, and that contended with Christianity. And that is where a lot of the military in Rome were really into the Mithra, who was God, you know, a reborn of the sun. It all had to do with something about the sun or some kind of child that was born. But in Mithraism, they actually, you know, believe that there's a mock king that would die, they would dress up and then they would, it was a real perversion of what the scriptures were, but Satan knows what the future, you know, knows this, that Jesus was coming. So he had already put in place these pagan rituals where what they did is this mock king would be, it almost sounded like, you know, when Jesus was mocked. And then in place of that, a criminal would be killed instead of this, you know, mock king. So what it was, it took away the total message of Jesus who came and was mocked and was crucified for our sins. So you took away all that, the ability to understand that was not what it was talking about, you know. So Satan already put in place something to pervert it before Jesus ever had the opportunity to come. And that's what all these world religions are. It's a perversion of what is the truth. So when the Christians came in, they were very extremely powerful. They had the Holy Spirit. They had the fresh knowledge of the words of Paul and all the scriptures that were just actually put together. People, and I want to say this to those who are listening, there's a huge thing that they're saying, well, the early church didn't celebrate Jesus' birthday. Well, no kidding. The early church did not celebrate hardly anything at first, except for his death, resurrection, you know, his burial, resurrection, death, resurrection, you know, whatever his the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost,
right.
And then he was crucified, died, buried, and was rose again. First century was spent sharing this message. The infant church was so new that things were just starting, and the apostles were gaining strength and sharing the gospel and writing out the scriptures. By the first,
and I'm sure talking about Jesus being born.
It was very much talked about in the New Testament. People say that there's no support in the New Testament for celebrating his birth, but that is totally not the truth.
Well, it's sure there.
It's you have shepherds do it. You have
John talk about it.
Well, you have God Himself who celebrated it. You have the angels who celebrated it. You have
right.
strangers who celebrated it. You had shepherds who celebrated it. You had the heavens who celebrated it. You had the prophets in the temple who celebrated Anna and Simeon. You
yeah.
had. You had the Zechariah, who the father, who was a priest, the high priest of that year, when John was Elizabeth became pregnant with John, who celebrated it. All these people celebrated his birth. People argue and say, well, Jesus never celebrated his birthday. Well, no kidding. Why would he celebrate his birthday? And also, the early church didn't celebrate his birthday. Well. Okay, just because, they say that birthdays are evil because only pagan rulers celebrated
well, that
birthdays.
Well, like Jehovah Witnesses, they don't celebrate their birthday. It's like, what's wrong with your birthday?
Well, you can go to Job. Job was a righteous man, and you know what? Every year, at the end of the cycle of each year, the birthday of his child, he would sacrifice just in case that they would sin against God. Job was considered one of the most righteous men, but was never, never, never felt convicted about not having his children celebrate their birthday. You know, it's like, so they had celebrations. They were celebrating in their home. So this is just a fluke thing as far as, you know, an argument that is without weight or water. It wasn't until they were confronted by all of these pagan rituals of the celebration of these birthdays of these other gods, and that the church was spreading powerfully, the word of God was finally written down, and they had finally thrown out the books that were not truth, the Gnostics who were trying to say that they're apostles and they were not, and they're writing things. Docetism was something the second century early church had to fight against to tell what is true and what is not true as far as writings. But by the third century, middle of the second century, the 247, I get mixed up if that's the third or the fourth, but the third century, people were starting to celebrate his birthday quietly until it started to become more well known, and the church calendar was put in place where they started to celebrate not only his birth, but the advent of his birth, the resurrection, the whole church year. They were celebrating something about the life of Jesus and the church, so to unite the church worldwide. And this was not just a Roman Catholic thing. This was a Greek Orthodox, a Ukrainian, Russian. All of these were all coming together and trying to unite together to form something so that the church worldwide can grow in strength. And so people get into these discussions because they don't know their church history. You know, they don't know that this was actually something that was, that was developed in a time span, and it was so early. Just think, 1800, 2000 years ago, we still have Christmas on December 25th. Go figure. It stayed this long to where now even pagans and atheists alike, when they think of December 25th, they don't think of these pagan rituals. They think, oh, it's Jesus' birthday, and wow, I didn't realize it was pagan. We need to take that back, by the way. That was ours before. Why don't we take that back and steal it back? Because they stole it from us in the first place.
Well, we have a comment. I just wanted to comment in the chat room. someone is asking, Faith Works is the person. Job made birthday sacrifices?
No, he didn't make birthday sacrifices. No, he made a once a year sacrifice. You can go in Job chapter 1 and read it. He made every year when the time of their year was over, once a year he would make, it was like a once a year atonement sacrifice for the sins of his children. So he once the course of the year had gone by, and that was the course of their birthday, and you wouldn't know by, and they would all be celebrating in their house. You just read it yourself. It wasn't that he sacrificed for birthdays. He sacrificed, you know, based on what was started in Genesis when God sacrificed the first animal because of our sin in the garden. And so Job was the earliest of all the books. So he was pre-flood. And so there was no Abrahamic covenant at that point. He was just doing what was handed down to him from Genesis, you know, from, you know, oral things, what was acceptable to God. And God considered him righteous. So, but this whole thing, and even today, I've spent all morning debating with some people about this whole subject.
I don't get it. It's like, I think, there's so many other things going on, and to me, it's a big distraction.
Well, you know what I find that's more distraction? That's why I'm taking it on. What I find more distraction is that more Christians, more and more and more Christians are teaching about paganism this time of year than the birth of Jesus. Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
Tell me, why are we teaching about paganism? Who needs to know? And you know what this is going?
Well, because you're right. It's a distraction to take people away from the real message. And there's so many of those distractions nowadays.
Yeah. There is. I mean, we already have. I mean, it's old school now to say, well, just buying gifts and presents and all the hubbub.
Yeah, what's wrong with buying gifts? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with spending money? And, you help the economy. Oh, spending money and buying gifts. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
But even that argument is old now. Nobody argues that anymore. Because
stupid. Give me a gift. I don't mind getting a gift. I love gifts.
So, but it's the fact you celebrate Jesus at all at this time.
Yeah, the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. He was the gift that God gave us, the gift of love. And when somebody gives somebody something out of love, what is wrong with that? Oh, I'm like, you're wearing me out already. This foolishness. Spending money on gifts and going shopping and. My goodness! We live in a capitalist society. What are we supposed to do?
Well, you know, and I don't find any of that necessarily bad, but for a lot of people, there's a lot of serious stuff that they're being attacked about, from anything acknowledging Jesus' birth to celebrating it on that day, to whatever decorations you have in your home, to whether or not you celebrating the festivals that the Bible commands us to celebrate. It's amazing to me. But
oh dear, it is quite amazing that. The devil loves to have people constantly fussing and fighting and getting into strife over foolishness. Yeah, when there's more important things to do with your time than worry about a Christmas bulb or a wreath on your door or whatever. Look, if I want to put a wreath on my door, I'm not doing it because I'm a pagan. I don't know anything about it. I just might like it. You know, I have flowers in my garden. I don't know if they're pagan flowers or what kind of a flower they are, or if a pagan had it. I just like flowers. So if I like pine needles, is there something wrong with liking pine needles?
How about if you have ivy or holly?
I have a holly bush in my yard. I never thought about holly being anything satanic. I just like holly berries. I think they're pretty. God made the holly berry. I don't think the devil actually, do you know of anything that the devil created? Did he create any of these flowers or bushes? I don't think so.
Well, then the argument is, well, it's how you use it. Okay, so.
Ooh.
So if I put.
How am I going to use it? I'm a Christian. How am I going to use it?
The most misquoted scriptures in this attack is Jeremiah chapter 10, where it talks about Jeremiah is says that you're not to cut down a tree and carve it into a shape or a form and put gold and silver on it and stand it up and bow down to it. People are saying that Jeremiah chapter 10 is the Christmas tree. God forbid.
Well, I didn't know that I never bowed down when we had one. Of course, I don't have one anymore. I mean, I don't care to, decorate. It's not my thing, but I never remember bowing down to the Christmas tree. I remember that my mother and father put presents under it. And then in the morning we got up and we were very, very happy little children going and tearing open the boxes and squealing and laughing. And, I don't remember any sadness or any pagan rituals. I just remember being very happy that I got lots of toys and, pajamas or whatever. Of course, at that time I didn't understand that we were celebrating Jesus' birth. I knew that Jesus was born, but I didn't have a clue what it all meant. It's much nicer when you know what it all means. And, of course, I don't believe in telling children about Santa Claus and all that. I believe you should tell people, children about Jesus. Tell them the truth. Don't make up stories. But, people are going back and forth here in the chat room.
Jeremiah 10 says, for the customs of the people are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and a craftsman shapes it with a chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a melon patch, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. So that is the scripture that they are saying is a Christmas tree when it's actually an idol that you carve out, you put in your house, and you worship, whether it be an animal, whether it be the heavenly hosts, whether it be a person, whatever. It's not just cutting a tree down and setting it in your yard or in your house. Because
remember when they told you couldn't have an owl in your house or a frog? I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do if I see one outside? What is wrong with you?
The symbol of the rainbow of the New Age movement. The New Age doesn't own the rainbow. The gay pride people do.
Yeah, who
own
gave the rainbow? The devil?
And God gave the rainbow for the
promise. Oh, so the God, rainbow. Remember, they used to make a big deal. Don't have a rainbow. I'm like,
God gave the
rainbow as an everlasting symbol that he was never going to destroy the earth again with a flood. So what is wrong with the rainbow? I like the rainbow.
Yeah, so this is the arguments they're coming to, and they're serious, serious arguments by these people. I was trying to figure out where is all this coming from? Why is it all of a sudden coming up like it is?
Yeah.
I think I have come to a conclusion. Well, hopefully, maybe a conclusion, but maybe it's the start of a conclusion. What you're hearing is you're hearing the same exact verbiage over and over. I mean, I'm so tired of it going through my mind because of all the people that are YouTube videos.
I know. That's it. The Bible says that the devil tries to wear out the saints. Yeah. They want to wear you out with all this foolishness.
Well, somebody like me who likes to confront these things, I'm tired. I am tired. What's interesting is that it was this inexact word for word. I was like, wait a minute. This is word for word. This is not just everybody is coming together and having some ideas and throwing it out and putting it together. They got this from somewhere. There is a source. Usually people take it from one or two sources, and then they transpose it, and they translate it, and they push it, and it goes and goes, and you think, wow, look at all these people are talking about the same thing because they've all come to the same conclusion. No, it's come from a certain source because it's word for word. It's like I'm reading the same thing over and over and over in the same order. And I'm thinking, wow, where is this coming from? There has to be the source, because the first time I have ever heard about Christmas being pagan was through Jehovah's Witnesses, who said that Christmas was pagan. And I evangelize them a lot, you know, so I heard that story. Part of my show that I just did on the star was inspired by what they said about the star, that it was actually sent by Satan and not by God.
So
I did a whole study on the star of Bethlehem and what was the significance of the star. So I just did that show a couple days ago on that. But that's the first time I ever heard of it. Then I was like, okay. So if I heard it from them, who else is saying that? Because it's similar. Is it coming from, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses don't really read all kinds of different texts. You know, they usually come from certain sources that they use. So where is this coming from? And that kind of gave me a clue to where to seek. And then I realized that the people who are launching the argument today is the Hebraic Roots Movement. They're the ones who have the baton, who are the ones who are promoting and pushing this so violently, and saying, and also the law, and following the law, and rejecting Jesus as divinely, son of God, same as Jehovah's Witnesses, don't believe that Jesus was God. So they're promoting all these lies. So I was like, okay, well, it's not starting with the Hebraic Roots Movement. Is there somebody in between that? I went to the Christian bookstore, the Redeemed bookstore, where you can get secondhand stuff, and I get a lot of material, you know, pagan material too, there. And I found this one for Christmas, this pamphlet that was only 21 pages long. And I said, that's it. I saw the argument word for word in this pamphlet. And you know what it was from? The Worldwide Church of God, The whole entire argument was right there. They debated everything word for word. Is from there. And then I went on this one site, this guy who is really good at confronting the Hebraic Roots Movement, he mentioned Herbert W. Armstrong. And I was like, I am on the right path, because they do teach this so it's another cult material being passed along in another sect that are saying, opposing themselves as God, as new light, as something that we need to do that we have forgotten 2,000 years ago to do. And now we need to go ahead and grab a hold of this new light. And now they're the ones taking the baton to horrendously pass this information worse than the rest of them have ever done, because the reason why it's so prevalent is because churches are allowing them all to come in. I love the Jewish people, and I love the festivals, and I love celebrating I mean, I remember in the 80s, I was part of a Israeli praise dance group. I was very much involved in the move of the Hebraic understanding at that time. Of course, it was just beginning back in the 80s or 90s and getting a hold of it, but it's turned into something that is not Christian anymore. It's not Christian. It's what I would call pagan. I'm just saying. I just had to say that. But people who are saying that they are scholars and that they are good at you know, showing you really what the Bible says about it. And you know what they're saying? This is the line that people are hearing. They're hearing, don't believe what you've been told. This is what it really means. Okay? What do you mean, don't believe what I've been told? In light of the context of Christmas, said, you've been told that it means this all these years, that it's about Jesus' birth, you know, and we're celebrating this day. You've been told all this. You've been told something wrong. Really, it's about paganism. Let me tell you what it really means. And do you know what that is? That goes all the way back to the garden. When God said, when Satan came to Eve and said, did God really say? Did God really say? Well, let me tell you really what he means. Let me tell you what, you know what, he's keeping this from you, you know. Really, you know, he's not telling you about evil. You know, he just knows you'll be like him if you understand good and evil. Well, we didn't need to know evil. We really didn't need to know evil. And Eve fell into that and said, okay, let's eat from the tree and then I'll gain knowledge. Well, this is the same type of argument, the same type of move that they're saying, you know what, you've been told this. And I'm going to tell you this. When
yeah.
really, it was the pagans who distorted it in the first place. Creation, worship the creation instead of the creator.
Of the creator, amen.
And that's what it really means? Are you serious? That's not really what it means. What the church did is they took what they used to create, you know, the created things they worshipped and say, well, this is really what it means. This is what who God is. God is this, and I can show you by this example in creation what God is like. This is what God is like. God is like. So the church took all these you know, little things that they're saying, you know, like the evergreen or the, you know, all these simple, the holly and ivy, you know, certain symbols that are so frowned upon as far as, you know, they're just natural, like you said, the flowers, you know, saying, oh, they used it for pagan worship. So you can't use that. Well, why not? Why can't I use it to show people who God is? And that's
yeah.
what the early did.
Yeah.
And I tell you, the things that you hear, I can't even repeat on this show. But some of them tell you what it is. Everyone who talks about this says, well, you know, this isn't a program for children. You might not want your children to listen because I'm going to tell you.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
Well, yeah, they say that. So, you know, this is you know, I'm going to tell you all these pagan rituals
yeah.
and sexual positions
uh-huh.
and of what this means. And then it totally ruins what you think about it.
I
know.
Well,
you know,
I mean, that's how the devil is. The devil is a deceiver, and he comes to bring discord among the brethren. I know we have some people going back and forth here in the chat room. That's it. I wish you would, you know, don't use my chat room as a place for feuding. If you want to feud, could you please go somewhere else? We're talking about Christmas today, so let's try to stay on the topic. But
you know, you out a whole bunch of the, I can't believe you're celebrating Christmas.
I'm going to celebrate the Lord's birth, and I'm going to do it, and I don't care what anybody says, and I'm going to shout it from the housetops. And I don't know if it's December 25th, and I don't really care.
because nobody knows, and that doesn't matter. The thing that matters is Jesus Christ was born. He came to earth. He left heaven, and he came to earth to be born as a baby and to live here on the earth until he was 33 years old, and to show us the way. And to get into all kinds of stupid arguments, which this has, whether you celebrate Christmas or not, it's not going to send you to hell. It's not some kind of a damnable heresy that's going to damn your soul. So it's just ridiculous for people to spend so much time and effort over something that doesn't affect your eternal salvation.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is what I'm not going to say his name, but this is one of the Hebraic Roots movement who's teaching these things that we got to get out of Babylon. He said this: the curse is this. You cannot get the full blessings of God in your life. You can't do it because he will refuse to work through anything that is a lie, speaking about Christmas and the birth of Jesus on December 25th. If you want the fullness of God to work in your life, then pretend it is a pipe that goes straight from the throne of Yahweh into your life. The only problem is, from his throne to your life, there is a timeline for when it was first given to you. Was given and pure to now. Over time, people have come in and they have cut the pipe, changed it, put it in a different kind of pipe. They've stuffed it. We got all kinds of junk in our pipe that people think is good for the pipe. The problem is that at the other end of that pipe, we have people underneath turning the faucet on, begging for a drop of water, just some relief of the world today. So all of Christianity is standing under the pipe and waiting for God to move. They want the power of the Holy Spirit. They want to be free from the burdens of the evil that's surrounding them, so prevalent around them. They want their children to serve God. They want their marriages to work. And yet we refuse to do Bible things in Bible ways. We refuse to... for his power, but we are not willing to do anything to get it.
Let's hide our light under a rock. Don't say anything unless you might offend somebody. Well, yeah, so the gospel says, the Bible says that the gospel offends. So we have a caller. Let's take this call and see what they have to say. Hello. Hello, caller.
Greetings to the best show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Vincent.
Thank you. Hi, Brother Vincent. Brother Vincent from Black by Color Only.
Yes. Hey, I've been listening to you all, and this is very interesting because for a long time I've been taught that the Christmas tree is pagan. You shouldn't be, you know, using Christmas trees or anything like that. Well, I know Santa Claus, you know, I don't even deal with that subject. But one thing I would like to tell people is, you know, sometimes we get a little super spiritual about Christmas and everything, and this is along the lines of what you all are saying. You know, when we walk into someone's house and they have a Christmas tree, and we go to condemning them because they have a Christmas tree. Look, if you don't want a Christmas tree, don't put it up in your house. If you don't want to do decorations or anything like that, that's fine. You know, but don't go condemning people because they have a Christmas tree or they have ornaments or stuff like that and everything. You know, I mean, to me, it's really a waste of time, and it really detracts away from, you know, what the holiday is supposed to be about. You know,
that's right. Yeah, imagine being invited over to someone's house and you go there and they have a Christmas tree and you start arguing with them about the Christmas tree. Really, that's not a spirit of hospitality. And they probably wouldn't want you back in their house.
Yeah, and it's not your place to do that. You know, you're in somebody else's house. It's not your place to do that. Now, if you don't want to have one, you know, that's fine. That's fine. You know, you have your choice of whether you want to put one up or do decorations or stuff like that. But when you come to a person's house and they have decorations, it is not an opportunity that God has given you to start talking about the Christmas tree. You know, I mean, you'd be amazed.
I know,
what,
it's like, get a life.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
but the argument, though, and this is what the argument is saying that it's evil to have one. And those who are, and then those who debate this say, well, you know what, this is a personal conviction of my own. It's not a personal conviction of your own when you're pushing it on others. And so what
exactly.
We have to take a look at is, does the Bible condemn cutting a tree, putting it in your house, and putting lights on it? Well, you know, what does the Bible condemn? The Bible does not condemn gift giving. It does not condemn giving gifts to children. Does not condemn cutting down trees and decorating them with lights. Tell me the scripture other than in Jeremiah 10, which is talking about idols being formed and fashioned to be worshipped. Lighting candles is not condemned in the Bible. Decorating with evergreens or greenery from outside is not condemned. Having a campfire is not condemned. And cutting a piece of holly and putting it in your home is not condemned. So why are we saying we can't do that? When the Bible, so the whole argument is the Bible, they're saying the Bible commands you not do these things. And I'm saying, tell me where it says that you cannot do these things.
Yeah.
And why are we pushing it on others as a personal perspective when it is not anything that we need to even announce or talk about? Why? Why are we doing this?
And if we really want to be technical about it, then we need to get rid of our months. We need to get rid of our days of the week because they were all named after Roman gods, you know, things like that. I mean,
and the church
will
not
use money, can't spend any money because the dollar bill has occult things on it.
Yeah,
the Eye of Horus is on the dollar bill.
Yeah, what
so,
are you supposed to do?
And then also it says, you know, that the early church could not have set any kind of celebration at any time of the year because the pagan worship was year-round, and so no matter what time they would set anything, it would clash with some kind of pagan celebration because the gods were according to the months and days and years and seasons and times. And so where do you stop it? I mean, altars are not pagan, you know.
They don't want you to come up to the altar. Like there's something wrong with going up to the altar and kneeling down and repenting. Every little thing to try to strain at a gnat and try to find every little thing. Well, I've had hundreds of altar services in my life, altar calls, and I want to tell you that was my favorite part. Usually of the service was the altar call when people would come up and kneel down and weep and cry out to God. And that's it. I think we're just getting ridiculous.
And it's all about
you can't have a sinner's prayer because it's not in the Bible. Well,
I've heard that too.
It's like, well, how are people supposed to get saved? What do? You don't tell them anything anymore? You don't ask them? You don't extend the invitation?
This is what it's about. It's taking away our opportunity to really speak.
It's
taking away, and the Christians are doing that to themselves. They're attacking themselves and saying, now you can't talk about it. Why can't we talk about it? Why not? It's the prime opportunity to talk about it because, you know, some of them I've said, well, why don't you just throw it back to the pagans? Why should I throw it back to the pagans?
Yeah.
Why?
What do they have to do with the birth of Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
And, you know, and the Bible is clear about certain things. The Bible is clear that we are not to worship the heavenly host, the sun, moon, and the stars. It is also clear that we are not to cut down trees to be carved into idols of some form of human or animal and worship and prayed to for guidance, for protection and blessing. But we don't do those things, nor did the early church do those things. I know there's some, you know, that idols were crept into the church, you know. That's a totally different subject. But, you know, as far as this talking about this particular subject, this is extreme. And so, we would have to even forgo the temple worship because God carved palm trees on the pillars in the temple. So are they pagan? Because he carved palm trees in there, and he put images of angels on the mercy seat. And my favorite one is this. You know what? The Hanukkah. God created a tree out of gold and put light in it. What? Really? That's a tree that we cut down. Really? That was the menorah. The menorah represented the tree of life, which has the light of God and the light of truth in it. And that is a tree. It's the branches with the life.
Yeah. Didn't Jesus say that he gave us the tree for the healing of the nations? And there's so many references to trees in the Bible.
Right. And
now,
and
you
want to
find something wrong with a tree? Well, even when people put a Christmas tree in their house, it's a tree the way it was. They're not carving it or changing the way it looks.
Well, you know what? What's so funny is you know, I had to think. I was like, well, yeah, why do we put a Christmas tree? And I was thinking, well, why didn't I know? Why didn't I know what the early church did this for? And what happened, this is my own conclusion, what has happened is that it became such a custom that you just did it because it was adopted for a purpose to send a message, a particular message that the church was trying to speak, but we just so accepted it as just the way it was that it became part of it and we didn't even know why. And so I think our failure right now is to really say, why did they do it in the first place?
Yeah.
What were they trying to speak through it? And so I think we need to get back to, well, why did they start that in the first place? I was raised in a Catholic family, so none of that stuff was ever explained, which you could have probably explained it, because back in those days, in the early church, there was a lot of liturgy, you know, because they needed that form. They needed something to show them, you know, to really make it tangible, kind of like the temple was that way. I mean, even in the temple, there was certain music, there was certain incense that if you smelled it, you smelled that smell nowhere but the temple. And so every time you smelled it, you thought of God. Every time you had that certain scent, you thought of God. That was the whole point in why he did this recipe, this special recipe that nowhere else would be. You know, there are certain things that we just automatically associate and think of because it has always been that way, and we don't really take the time to really think of, well, why did we do that? So, and I think what is being destroyed here is that even atheists and pagans are, you know, thought of Jesus Christ being born.
Yeah, you can go and in some of the most sinful places in the world, nightclubs, bar rooms, and they're singing the Hallelujah chorus.
Yeah.
pagans singing the Hallelujah chorus.
And the thing too, why is the ACLU against Christmas so much? Because of Christ. They want to get Christ out of it, you know, and they see it as a Christian holiday. You know, they want to get rid. They don't want you to say Merry Christmas or anything. So,
oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah, now you have to be afraid to say Merry Christmas to someone. Oh no, Happy Holidays. You have to say Happy Holidays or something ridiculous. But
yeah,
you know.
Now they're just saying, well, Christmas was never yours anyway, so tough.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was never yours anyway. Yeah. Amen to that. But anyway, Brenda and Vincent, both of you, Brenda, go first, share a little bit about your radio program so if people want to tune in.
Okay. Well, I actually am the host of As the Day Approaches, and I've started this. I have two sections I do. Is Friday is when I actually do a series, and then on Tuesday night I've been doing a more call-in. Hopefully people call in. I don't know if people have been daring enough to do so yet, but on different subjects, and each time it's a different subject. this Christmas I've been doing it on is a series of Is Christmas Pagan? But I've not been doing it on Tuesday nights because of the hateful comments and attacks that come, and I want to avoid the debate. I want to get out what...
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to highlight the debate. I want to highlight what is the truth. So, anyway, I do that Tuesday nights at 6:30, 8:30, and Fridays 1 to 3. And so, but I'm doing 6 shows all on Christmas. I've done 3 of them so far, and now I'm 3 more. But anyway, I do that, and I've been doing that for a long time, and I just have a gift of apologetics and confronting false teachings and things like that.
So. Oh, yeah. Brenda Johnson, As the Day Approaches on Blog Talk Radio, so don't forget to tune in, because Brenda has a wealth of knowledge on so many different topics, you'll be greatly blessed by her broadcast. And Brother Vincent, your broadcast?
Yes, and I've already marked Brenda's show to follow, because I saw she has some interesting subjects. I would love to, you know, see what she talks about.
Yeah,
but,
she really does, yeah.
Yeah, but my show is Black by Color only, and I thought I was going to cancel it tonight, but we'll be on tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll be talking about the issue. We know about the tragedy that happened yesterday, and I put those people in your prayers, and we'll be talking about that and its correlation to anti-gun legislation and all that stuff and everything, you know, and, you know, Black by Color only tonight at 7 o'clock. Come bring your comments. If you agree with me or disagree with me, just season it well with respect.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and for my guest Brother Vincent for calling in, and my guest Brenda Johnson, who's always got something great to say, and she's got a wealth of knowledge. Truly, she's done her homework. So. And we want to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, He loves you, and He really, really does love you. He loves you the way you are in your sin. He wants to take you out of your sin, and He can do that. And you must repent and have a heartfelt repentance, and ask Him to come into your life and to change your life, because only Jesus can give you true joy and true peace. The only peace we are ever going to have on this earth is when the Prince of Peace comes back. Otherwise, they can talk about peace all they want, but only Jesus Christ has peace and can give you peace, no matter what's going on in the world today. And we know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, no, God doesn't love your sin. He doesn't love your adultery and your pornography and your fornicating and your drug use and your alcohol use and all that. But He is the only one that can deliver you out of that. And we know, Brenda and Vincent and myself, we know what it was like before Jesus Christ came into our life and changed our life, and there's no turning back. It's a wonderful life. This is a wonderful life, knowing Jesus Christ, and we want to thank Him today for His wonderful gift that He gave us when He came to earth over 2,000 years ago. We don't know what month, but we know He came. We know He was here. We know He was born. We know He died, and He's resurrected and sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So, all right, everybody. Thank you for today. Thanks, Brenda. Thanks, Vincent.
You're welcome. Okay.
And we'll be talking
always
again soon, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
thank everybody.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And tune in again next week.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.